The sons of earth toil under dark, rolling storms. The daughters of the land carry their own loads of strife. And out of the inky night, the shepherds guard the vulnerable that sit under their care and wait for dawn's helping hand. Then, without warning, a horizon is born. Not from beneath the earth, but from heaven above, bending every knee that witnesses it, flooding hard hearts with wonders of light and love, striking fear and awe into the bravest soul. It blinds those who see. It gives sight to those who don't. The good news of great joy streams from the mouths of angels. He has been born, Christ the Lord. So leaving the only security they know, the shepherds flee their fields, the magi leave their homes, all toward the light of hope they'd heard of all their lives, with zeal flowing through their veins. And look into the eyes of the author of light and life. They touch the fingers of the hand that formed them and watch the breath of God appear in the world he made. The earth, once hunched with despair, lifts her head and receives her king. And the men who God chose to tell run through Bethlehem and sound the joy, shout the wonders of his love to all who hear. Your eternal king is born.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Our Advent readings today come from Matthew 2, 1 through 12, and Numbers 24, 17. The visit of the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born the king of Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Numbers 24:17, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." Okay, so getting into this, I have never really thought much about the wise men, because to me they were just little figurines we moved around in the manger scene. But on reading articles and stuff, wise men were... So in some articles, they were called kings, but getting into it more, wise men are basically astrologers, omen and prophecy readers. And they recognized the star from all the prophecies that they had read and all the star readings that they had done, and they were intent and diligent in following the star to Jerusalem. Their intention was clear and pure, that they were to come and worship the King of the Jews. And they knew for certain who Jesus was. I mean, their gifts showed that they had followed, like, the timeline of David's 77s, that the king was to be born, he would rule, and then he would die. So they brought the... Sorry, guys. So they brought gold because he was a king, the frankincense because he was God, and then the myrrh because they knew that he would need burial incense. So as the wise men, we too must know, in fact, that God is who he said he is in his word, and that he gave us the greatest gift of all when he sent his son to us. So let us pray. God, help us to examine our hearts to know and trust who you are and what you say and what your word says you are and who you are. Lord, help us to love others so that we may share you with them so that they may come to know you. And Lord, we just ask that you give us spiritual growth so that we can show you to the world. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Teresa. That was awesome, wasn't it? You know, one of the things that we watched last night in the movie, the Nativity story, is we watched the story of the wise men, actually. And I found it very interesting, some of the stuff that occurred in that movie. And I thought about Israel and time, like, because we've been talking about the time of the judges right now in our series, and how worldly things were back then, just as they are worldly now. And I find it interesting that even the demonic, even the things like astrology and the heavens and everything else, had to point to the coming Christ. You know, the Bible says that if the people of God don't worship, then the rocks will cry out. And, you know, that's like that anthropomorphic thing where you associate human characteristics onto objects or animals or anything like that, right? But the thing is that I find that so interesting because, you know, we were the astrologists were taking the prophecies and going, here it is. I remember one thing that one of the wise men said yesterday was, how's your faith now? And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And then there was other people like diviners and things like that that were able to point to Jesus and point to his birth happening. And it's just amazing. Well, Lord God, I pray for this service, and I pray for everyone in it, that our hearts will be open to what you have for us today. In your name, amen. Just a few announcements real quick, if you'll help me with that, kiddo. Yep. We have Warriors at the Well. That's our women's group on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock. They'll be here this week, but not next week or the week after, because New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve. So we have our Christmas candlelight service, which I'm unofficially calling Dress Up Sunday. That's my new word for it, is Dress Up Sunday. So, you know, I'm going to be dressed up on that Sunday. Normally you see me as I am right now, blue jeans and a shirt. I have a rule. I always wear a collared shirt on Sunday. I don't know why. I have a lot of t-shirts, so. But I'll be in a suit, y'all. Because it's Christmas Eve, and that's kind of what you do, isn't it? So I recommend everyone come. You don't have to wear a suit. You don't have to dress up if you don't want to. But I will, and I'll make sure all my kids look good too. Yes.
Yippee.
And finally, there's one more announcement there, kiddo. You skipped it. You almost forgot it. Divorce care. If you have been divorced, considering divorce or separated or any of that, I highly recommend you get online and go to life360.org/Conway, and you find the information there and sign up for divorce care. You can also sign up here at the church. It'll start on January 6th at 6:30 p.m., and it'll run every Saturday for 13 weeks. And Rick and Janet right here are your folks to talk to about that. They're going to be heading the whole thing up, and it's going to be awesome and amazing. And all that stuff. So I'm super excited, actually, because this is the beginning of addressing something in our community that needs to be addressed, and helping folks work through the feelings and the emotions and the physical struggles, the all the other struggles that are associated with divorce. So, yeah, thank you. Well, you guys ready for worship? I do. Yes.
Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Father, He's Friend, He's Savior, and He is Lamb. If He did it before, He will do it again. You see, He's the same God who carved out a path in the ocean, who constantly makes ways in impossible situations. He is the God who calmed the storm with a word and healed a leper who was simply reaching out. We serve the same God of Abraham, David, Mary, and Paul, choosing the unqualified, broken people, yet working through them all. You see, we serve a living, active God, an unchanging God, a God who is constantly welcoming the prodigals back home. You see, if He did it before, I'm telling you, He will do it again. If He answered prayers from back then, He will answer prayers now. If He came in power back then, He will come in power now. He is the God who sees, and He sees you right now. So when it feels like everything is shaking, I want you to remember, He is secure. He is steady. He is unchanging and everlasting. He is the same God.
Will you stand with me today for worship?
On the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations, I know that You will keep Your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. You now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need You. Oh God, my God, I need You now. How I need You now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on Your faithfulness, on Your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. All things are possible. I'm calling on the God of Jacob.
mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Join the holy nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life in all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the songs of earth, born to give them second birth. Angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come down, King of Heaven, come down. Your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in the mighty name, King of Heaven, come. Heaven adore Christ the everlasting, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the son of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name, King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven, come.
Creator, us together. There's no one higher than you. Redeemer, defender, our great and mighty Savior. There's no one higher than you. You are always with us, gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free. And Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God.
Oh, and
there is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise of your name. There is no one higher than you.
Majestic in wonder.
Majestic in wonder. Your reign will love forever.
There's no one higher than you. Your beauty, your splendor, your glory knows no measure. There's no one higher than you.
You are always with us, gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free.
And Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, seeing love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. Oh, when there is no one higher than our love. For me is always enough.
There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you.
Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. There is no one higher than you. No, there is no one higher than you.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word.
From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty,
praise forever to the King of Kings.
The kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation.
You did not despise the cross,
to reveal your suffering.
You saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake, you died.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. You rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good,
for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel, true of old, shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, a healing angel voice says, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. On us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is his peace. Jesus, shall he pay for the slaves our brother? And in his name all oppression shall cease. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees, oh, hear the angel's voice, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, no.
entire universe welcomed the Son of God. On the day of his birth, the entire universe welcomed the Son of God. The heavens opened up and the angels sang. The moment that heaven had been waiting for was finally coming. And the Bible says that Christ is coming again. We don't know the time. We don't know when it's going to happen. You can't predict it. You can't guess it. Everyone else has been wrong. All we can do is be ready. To be ready for that time when Christ returns. When he calls back the people who love him and have served him and have called him Lord and made him Lord of their lives. I pray today, just as the shepherds had seen the angels worshiping and shouting and praying and worshiping and just making a lot of noise, just as the entire universe had just been rearranged for the arrival of Christ, I pray that our hearts, our lives could be positioned to be ready to receive him. Be ready to receive Christ into your life today. Lord Jesus, I pray today. I thank you that we have an opportunity to come together and worship you. I thank you that we, even us Gentiles and those of us who have absolutely no right, you have found a place for us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll take a moment and say hi to a few folks this morning. Well, hello again. I'm telling you, I'm up there for five songs, and I'm like, man, why did we switch to five? I think I added a fifth, and I just never took it off. I think that's what I did. You're staring at me. Am I in trouble? What'd I do? Oh, we'll talk later about that. So, hey, let's go ahead and pick up the tithes and offerings, and Abigail will help us out with that today. She's going to be our Vanna offering today. Did Vanna White retire? Did I hear something about that? Pat Sajak's retired. But Vanna stayed? Oh, I'll bet she'll retire. Ryan Seacrest? Bless him. No. Well, let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the continued giving hearts of the folks, Lord Jesus. You have blessed us financially throughout the entire year. We've been able to not only keep the doors open, which is in itself amazing, but also that we've been able to thrive, and we've been able to do some really great ministry in the community. And I thank you, God, that you are continuing to bless and grow and develop the people here so that they can come closer to you, Jesus. And I thank you for the continued support financially, because we can't operate without money in this world, and it's a necessary thing, God, and you provide. So I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to bless the folks here that continue to give faithfully as they are supposed to do according to the Bible. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you want to give online, there is a QR code there you can scan. If you can't scan it right now, let me know. You can just go to life360.org/Conway, and you'll see a give button up there, and you can give that way too. So here's the deal. You know, like a lot of churches, some folks I talk to that have gone to church, they'll do like really, really horrible like offering practices and stuff like that. And you know, I've always wanted to make our church a place where people feel like they belong. But offering is a necessary thing, and we have to do it. Why? First of all, it's worship. Did you know that? It's worship to give. The Bible actually says it is worship to give. It also says that tithe is a requirement of being faithful. Not right now. Not right now. And on top of all of that, we give not only out of a faithful heart, not only out of obedience and everything else. It's also because God is worth it. God is worth it. So I want to thank you guys. This has been a very, very good year. We've had a lot of money going out this year, but we've had a lot of money coming in this year. And from a financial standpoint, and if Pastor Tom, who is our CFO for Life 360 as a whole, is listening, we've been doing really well this year. And we are going to end the year at zero. And you're like, well, that sounds terrible. You have to remember, we're a nonprofit, so we're not supposed to be making money in the first place. So the fact that we have money going out and we have money coming in, and it's all kind of matching up, and it's all doing really, really like good, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So the hope is that at some point in time we'll be able to start submitting, that we'll be able to actually start bringing some funds in so that we can start building up other areas of the church as well. And I'm looking forward to that for next year. So God has got a lot of cool things going on. With that being said, next Sunday is the 24th, and it's also our last Sunday. No, two Sundays from then is our last Sunday of the year. So if you do want to get any of that 2023 tax credit for giving into the church, got to get it done by then. So, all right. So you guys, that'll be helpful for your taxes or whatnot. I don't know about you, but I typically just take the standard deduction. But hey, that's just me disclosing too much about my life. So, it's usually higher. Yeah. Yeah. But if you're in that position, maybe you have other options that you want to give or anything like that. There beyond the tithe, there are other ministries within the church that you can give to specifically. We could use additional funds in the missions area always. The more funds we bring into missions, the more money we can spend on missions. The more money that we bring in for the Bears Den, the more things we can get for the Bears Den, which is our before and after school program, and it's also our other facility here in Conway that we use for ministry. We just had Christmas Mansions there a couple weeks ago. It was huge. We ran out of chairs. Guess what that means? I need to buy chairs. We ran out of tables. So guess what that means? We need tables. So we need tables and we need chairs for the Bears Den. And that is a great problem to have, isn't it? So a couple weeks ago, I actually added, what did I add? Another two rows to this room? Was that right, Abby? We added two more rows? That's because we're growing, and that's a good thing. We still have more chairs back there, so I can always fill in the middles and add a few more to the edges, and we could grow out into the hallway. Why not? And so, or come a little closer. Of course, that's closer to the splash zone, right? You ever been to, like, SeaWorld? And they have that, like, line. They have a line on the ground, like, this is the splash zone. You will get wet if you're within this area. So I'm not saying I'm a porpoise, but at least I'm not saying that on porpoise. That one was for my sister-in-law. She hasn't heard a dad joke in a little while. But anyway, wow. Yeah, last night we had a really great event here. We had our movie night. The popcorn machine. Did it smell like popcorn when you walked in? Did anyone smell popcorn? I didn't smell popcorn either, but last night you walked in here, you smelled popcorn. And it was a good night. We had a great night. We had a good time with the movie, and it was kind of a low-key kind of event. We were kind of chill, and we had sodas and candy. All the sodas, we had limited sodas because you could only have one bottle. But as much candy as you wanted to eat, as much popcorn as you wanted to eat, and it was one of those few times I looked at a kid yesterday and I said, "You get to eat in the sanctuary." What? Yeah. You get to eat in the sanctuary and not get in trouble. Really? Yes. And we had like a couple kids up here with their blankets, and it was kind of cute. I was like, "That was kind of fun." So I'm actually really excited. We got a lot of cool things happening in 2024. We got divorce care kicking off, and we've got some of the standard events that we do every single year are all going to be coming back again, bigger and better in all the different ways. We're going to see Teresa at the pulpit more. Surprise. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited about that because this is work. I love doing this work. This is what I'm called to do. Don't get me wrong, but I love having a break. And I love hearing the word from other people's perspectives and other people's input, and I think that's awesome. So I'm excited for Rick and Janet and the divorce care ministry that's going to be kicking off. I'm thankful to Merlina. I got to get it right. Which one is it again? Merlina. For taking over the women's ministry and handling all that. I'm not qualified, y'all. I don't meet the prerequisites on that part, so I'm so excited to see what God is going to do in every single one of your lives and how he's going to be using you to it within the church or within your own context and where God has got you. Because I am not the sole repository of the Holy Spirit. I'm not the only one that hears from him, and I'm not the only one that ministers in the church. And I am so thankful that we have folks that help, that bake cookies and show up and set up and tear down. All of these events and the things that we do throughout the year don't happen without you guys. And I so appreciate you. I'm looking around the room and I'm going, this room is 100% participation rate. What church can say that? You know? I know, right? Typical churches, it's like 10% of people do 100% of the work. And we have 100% of the folks here that do 100% of the work, and I appreciate it so much. I'm super excited with Leah over here. Hi, Leah. She probably heard that. Yeah. Hello, Leah. We love you. Anyway, it's my wife, and she does so much around here that you guys don't even see. She does like all this background stuff, like going through the kitchen and sorting out the kitchen, cleaning things up after I've made a mess of it, that sort of thing. So I am so thankful for her. She'll hear this tomorrow on the way to work. So, all right, cool. You guys ready to get back in the words, in the Word of God? Yeah. We are in the book of Judges. I know. It's like we've been here for a while, haven't we? You know, when I was asking the Lord, Lord, what should I be preaching on? And he said, you know, just preach the word. It reminded me of something my old pastor used to tell me. He said, you know, preach the word. That's what you do. You preach the word. You let the word preach, because then you're just giving out what God has already said. You don't have to come up with it. You don't have to create something brand new. I don't know that that's supposed to happen anyway. You're not supposed to add to the text anyway, right? But over the next several weeks, yes, weeks, because it takes time to go through and do these stories and really do a deep dive into what's happening in Scripture, right? I think if we went like chapter to chapter to chapter to chapter to chapter, it would get really confusing after a while. Like, there's a lot in there and we didn't hit a lot of it. And I really want to get as much out of what God has written as possible. So we're going to be spending the next several weeks on our next judge. His name is Japheth. Japheth. It's a fun name, isn't it? Trust me, you don't want to name your kid Japheth. Yes, they'll never have a keychain with their name on it. That's true. We were at Silver Dollar City, and they don't have a lot of the names. Like, we looked up, you know, trying to find, you know, different names for, like, my daughter has a friend named Walker. Can't find a Walker. So, yeah, you have to give your kids a common name. Like, everyone should be John. Scott's even hard to find sometimes. So, anyway. But Japheth, he's not the guy you want to really be emulating. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him. But we're entering into a period of time where God is silent. What does it mean when God is silent? My first question is this. Is God ever silent? So this is the moment where you guys actually respond to me. This is a part of this whole shtick that we do here at Life 360 in Conway. Is God ever silent? No, yes, maybe, sometimes. See, I love these responses. This is exactly what I'm going for, is like the no yes crowd. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Yeah. Yep. Sure. So there's no Bible. Right. Okay. What else do we got going on? What else do you think? Yeah. Okay. Let's say God doesn't speak audibly. I believe he does. But let's say he doesn't. What do we have now that is the words of God or the Word of God? The Bible. We always have the Bible, right? But they didn't have the Bible, right? Is that what you're saying? So, they didn't have the scrolls either. So did you know that actually the Torah at that time, the first five books of the Bible, they were written and then they were put into the ark? Could they get into the ark? No. But what did they have? Prophets, priests, and what would the priests be able to do? recite it. This is the oral tradition, right? Being able to communicate it. We saw that in the movie last night, remember? The lady was telling the story about how God is not in the wind. The God is not in the in the fire. He's in the still small voice. And that's what encouraged Mary and Joseph, was that still small voice. So is God ever silent? No. The question is are you listening? Are you reading? Can you hear him? Are you listening for him? Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him to speak to you? Because he's talking. Always. Yeah. Man, I haven't even gotten past the first question yet. This is already a good message. I mean, I could go on and be like, look, you got a situation in your life and you're like, God, please tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. And he doesn't actually tell you anything audibly. Did you read his word? Because sometimes God doesn't like to repeat himself. Do I like to repeat myself? Child, look at me. Do I like to repeat myself?
Yes.
Just because I do it all the time does not mean I enjoy it all the time. Do I like repeating myself? Yes, saying the same thing over and over, expecting my kids to do a different result would be the definition of insanity. But it's also the definition of parenthood. But does, do you think God likes to repeat himself? Sure, yeah, absolutely. 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 So if during this time of Japheth it came out and you were reading it and you're like, well, God's not actually doing anything. He's not saying anything. Does that give justification to just go do whatever you want? No, why? He's already given the law. It's already a thing. It's already in place. Who's supposed to? We've already been looking at judges, and we haven't even gotten into Japheth yet. But let me ask you the question. Who's supposed to be the king of Israel? God. We got that? Did we not learn that through all these other cycles already, with all these other judges already, with all of what Moses, I mean, you can go back and look at everything from where we are and before. God has already clarified that that's what's supposed to happen. But they're not doing it. But what happens when it seems like someone is not talking to us? What can it feel like? And what do we call that? Starts with an R. Ends with ejection.
Rejection.
How does rejection make a person feel? Alone. Sad. Hurt. You want to do an experiment? Does anyone have a small, like, baby child? Looking at you. Some of y'all have grandkids, and they were little, tiny little ones. Put them in a crib, and then leave the room, and see what happens. What do they do? You got food in your mouth, but I'm going to still ask you, what does he do? Screams. Why? Because he feels rejected, like you're not there. Is he rejected? No. You still love him, right? Still care for him? Yeah. But he doesn't feel that way because you're not with him and talking with him and always around him, right? Wow, it's like it's part of growing up. How does it feel to be rejected? All right, by a show of hands, who loves being rejected? Not true. No. What's the typical reaction of a person who feels rejected? Anger? What else? Depression? Quiet? Some fear? So let me ask you a question. If you had a person and you wanted to be their friend and they rejected you, what would you do? Cry for hours. Okay, what else could you do? Could you smear them on social media and be like, this person's a jerk? You could totally like try to get them back. Or try to go collect other friends to go fight against them and be angry with them and stuff like that. Have you guys ever been petty? Oh, did I touch something? Oh, sorry. I asked the wrong question. Y'all didn't have to answer that one so loudly. Never been petty? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who's never been petty. Man, there's a problem when you have kids and your kids in the church. I'm going to throw a wrench in your system here, and I'm going to show you the title of today's sermon. You ready? Selfish opportunities. Selfish opportunities. Well, Scott, we've just been talking about rejection and God being silent and all this other stuff. Selfish opportunities, what in the world does that have to do with anything? And where we're about to find out, relax. We're going to be in Judges chapter 10, verse 17, and we're going to go through chapter 11, verse 11. You guys ready? Buckle up. Here we go. At the time, the armies of Ammon had gathered for war and were camped in Gilead, and the people of Israel assembled and camped near Mizpah. All right. So who do we got? Who's the players we got here? Huh? The Ammonites? Who else? Who else? People of Israel. Who are the Ammonites? We're going to go back to that old trope where sin is the cause of everything. Okay? You ever watch like law shows and cop shows and all that other stuff? And typically, you know, all the shows, when the person gets murdered or whatever it is, it's because they're committing sin in the first place a lot of times, or they put themselves in a situation where they can be attacked, right? You've seen that a lot? It's a very interesting thing. The vast majority of the time that you're not looking for trouble, you don't find it. When you do find trouble and you're not looking for it, we call that accidents. Okay? Or, I mean, there's bad things that can happen too, but it's not as likely. You're like, it's a 90% chance that you're not going to get murdered driving home from work or driving home from school. As long as you're not involved in like drug trafficking and things like that. If you're involved in those things, your chances go up. Do you know who the Ammonites are? Because that's one of those things that we can kind of gloss over. Ammonites, and there's another people who are the Moabites. The Ammonites and the Moabites. Okay, you hear about these people in the Bible all the time. I was just reading about this today. That's why I'm bringing it up. It's like on the top of my head. Do you guys remember this guy named Lot? Lot in the Bible. Do you know a lot about him? What happened to, so Lot lived where? Where did he live? Well, where was he known to have lived? Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He lived in Sodom. And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Got burned down, right? And Lot got saved by an angel, like ninja angel. It was awesome. There's like this cool, I love watching this video. I can't remember what it was. It was talking about, it was the whole like story of the Bible, and they had Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angel like karate chopped everyone to let Lot and his family out. And then what happened to Lot's wife? Why? She didn't obey. I mean, that's really simple. Don't look back. Why? You could just see the wife doing that. I'm just saying. Seriously, folks. All right, I'm in trouble already. See, I was really nice to my wife, and now I'm in trouble. But she turned around and looked back. Okay, but Lot had other people with him too, and who were they? His family, which consisted of his daughters. Now, let me be clear about Lot's daughters. Previous to the town being destroyed, the people of Sodom came up to Lot's house and knocked on the door and said, "We know that you have men in there who we don't know. Let them out so we can know them better." Sodom was a really gross place. Know them better meant to have sex with them. You had to have sex in order to be greeted in Sodom. Some people would find that very interesting. That's just gross, just seriously gross. And what does Lot offer? Do you remember? He offers his daughters instead. They've never been with a man. You can have them instead. No, they want the other ones. Lot is not a great dad. I'm just saying, not the best of fathers. So, jump back to where we were. They're running away from the city. Lot's wife is disobedient, turns around, turns into a pillar of salt. They sucked all the water out of her. You bored yet?
No.
Okay. You're shying like you're bored. This is gross. You ready? His daughters feel so bad for him. Now remember, where did his daughters grow up? In Sodom. They went to school in Sodom. They learned everything they knew about life in Sodom. So in order to make their dad feel better, what did his daughters do? Got him drunk and slept with him. They both got pregnant. Their baby daddy is their daddy. The sons' names? Ammon and Moab. Is it starting to get clear now? Ammonites and Moabites. It's all coming together, isn't it? See this? I'm telling you. When everything comes from Adam and Eve, it's like that game that you play where you're like, how many can you get to this person, knowing this person by like associations? What's the name of that game? I can't remember the name of the game. 6 degrees? Something like that? I'm related to the Hatfields. You ever heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? Don't ever tell me if you're a McCoy. We'll have problems. I'm just kidding. Anyway, we went through one verse here. All right, so let's keep going. The leaders of Gilead said to each other, "Whoever attacks the Ammonites first will become ruler over the people of Gilead." Why would they do that? Where's God? So let me get this straight. If you go and attack the Ammonites, which granted were pretty mean to the Israelites all the time, you'll become ruler. Okay, guys, let's think back. Put your thinking caps on. We're going back to every other judge cycle. Who brought on the judges? Who called the judges? Who called Gideon?
God.
So from Gideon and before, they'd all been called by God. Or they'd jumped in because of circumstances. Now, the people of Gilead, the Israelites, have decided, without consulting God whatsoever, whoever attacks the Ammonites first will become ruler over the people of Gilead. Now, did they say when? No. It's a first-come, first-served basis thing. So guess who steps up? Japheth. Now, Japheth of Gilead was a great warrior. Of course he was. He was the son of Gilead. Sound familiar? Like the town's named after him? Probably a pretty important guy. But his mom was a prostitute. Guess what kind of prostitute? Huh? Probably an Ashtoreth prostitute. Yeah, temple prostitution. So Japheth is the son of the most popular guy in town and a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had several sons. Oh, he was married. What a great guy. And when those half-brothers grew up, they chased Japheth off the land. You will not get any of our father's inheritance, they said, for you are the son of a prostitute. So, what just happened? We have this part where the Ammonites are attacking. And now we're being introduced to Japheth of Gilead. But is he really of Gilead? He's the son of a prostitute, and he's been chased out of his home. Japheth fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him. At about this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. Japheth joined a gang. Japheth was a gang member in Tob. Because if you're going to join the gangs, everyone knows you go to Tob. Why would he join a gang? He's been rejected by his family. His father is dead. His mother's a prostitute. He's been rejected. And this group of folks have probably all been rejected. They've all come together. He's a great warrior. I mean, you just imagine what Japheth probably looked like. And everybody knew about Japheth and his history and probably what he's been up to. So when the Ammonites attacked, the elders of Gilead sent for Japheth in the land of Tob. Why? Because Japheth was a bad man. He could handle this stuff. And the elders said, catch this, come be our commander and fight the Ammonites. Wait, what did they just do? Okay, wait. Abigail, do you remember what they offered to the person who first attacks the Ammonites? What did they say at the beginning? Ruler. Absolutely right. And what are they offering now? Yeah. So what are they trying to do? Trick him. They're trying to get Japheth on the cheap. Aren't they? Rejected by his half-brothers, joining a gang, son of a prostitute, and all of a sudden they realize they need him because he's a bad man and he can handle this problem, right? But they don't want to give him the leadership. They don't want to make him the ruler because he's been rejected and he's the son of a prostitute and the half-brothers don't like him. So instead of being our ruler, why don't you just come be the commander of our army and do our dirty work for us? Ever meet people like that? Man, those people are selfish. But Japheth said to them, aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? Because we need you, the elders replied. Isn't that great? They need him. If you lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over the people of Gilead. Oh, so you're rejecting our first offer? Fine, we'll make you leader. Japheth said to the elders, let me get this straight. If I come with you, and if the Lord gives me victory over the Ammonites, oh wait, that's the first mention of God. Because who's going to give him victory? But if he gets defeated, whose fault is it? God's, in his mind. Will you really make me the ruler of all the people? Who's he thinking about? His brothers. The Lord is our witness, the elders replied. We promise to do whatever you say. We'll do whatever you want in order for you to come do what we want you to do. So Japheth went to the elders of Gilead and the other people and made them their... Japheth went to the elders of Gilead and the people made him their ruler and commander of the army at Mizpah in the presence of the Lord. Japheth repeated what he had said to the elders. So, Japheth, chosen by God? Wait a minute. It's a trick question. Japheth has been put into leadership. Has he been chosen by God? Uh-oh, we've got some dissension amongst the ranks here. Who puts people into leadership? God. Did Japheth get put into the leadership by God? God puts everyone into leadership, though. Right? Here's the problem. Did they consult God ahead of time? No. So God puts people into authority even if he wouldn't have chosen them in the first place. Ooh. We can get political if we want. Japheth wasn't chosen by God. But once he's in authority, he's in God's authority too. He's under God's authority. Japheth has to be made leader. He has to be made commander in the sight of God before there's any chance of him having God's favor, right? But here's the deal. The people of Gilead, they're desperate. And they want what they want. They want the Ammonites out. They'll do anything to get the Ammonites out. They'll even go after the gang members and be like, look, we'll do whatever you want just to get rid of these guys. And Japheth is more than happy to step up and do it. Why? Says it right there at the end of that passage. Japheth repeated what he had said to the elders. You've rejected me. You kicked me out of my own house. Well, now I'm your ruler. How do you think the rest of this story is going to go? Who is in charge now? A thug. A thug is in charge. And he's proving himself not by his faith, not by his mercy, not by his giving, not by his anything like that, but by the simple fact that he can win in a fight. Because at the time, that's all they need. We just wanted him to come in and be commander. And once he's done with that, we're done with him. We'll just reject him again, send him back to Tob. Well, now you can't. You're stuck with him. And now we've got several weeks of talking about Japheth. This could have been like a Tola thing where it happened for like one half of a verse or whatever and we're done. But no. The Israelites made their decision. They made their decision to go with someone that God had not directed them to have in leadership. They've made the decision to make this person important to them. They've made these poor, horrible decisions, and now they have to live with it. There are plenty of folks in the world who are driven by blind ambition. to achieve goals. And they'll do anything to succeed at it. I think many of us probably see ourselves like Japheth. We've been rejected. And we're looking for any bit of acceptance from anywhere we can get it from. And when the opportunity comes up for us to take hold of something, to take our revenge, to take our selfish ambitions and make them happen. Look, I'm a son of Gilead just like you are. Even if my mom was a prostitute, you kicked me out. Well, now I'm in charge. I'm just saying, if some of the other sons of Gilead had just hit the gym a few more times, this probably wouldn't have been a problem. That's not the point. It's so sad how opportunistic everyone in this whole passage is. And throughout all of this, what do we hear from God? Nothing. Let me share a passage with you. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 11. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We're dealing with something here that's profound. We're dealing with two very, very different streams of thought. There's the world's stream of thought, which is, I want to get mine. I want to get my protection. I want to get this. I want to get that. I want to get. 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 Me, 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 my, now, now, now. It's almost like a screaming baby in a crib. I want this now. I don't want to wait. We need a leader now. God, we need you to do this thing because we need it done now. Or you need to bring someone along, God. Oh, you're not bringing someone along because I'm not hearing you. Listen up, folks. If Gideon, who wasn't a perfect man at all, can defeat the folks he's fighting with as few people as he had by making a bunch of racket on a hill, the Israelites could have done anything to the Ammonites if they just listened to God. But they didn't. They went out and got their king. And now they're going to have to live with it. We're going to see the consequences of those actions. When you jump ahead of what God has planned, when you take all of those things and those thoughts, and you may be thinking that you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to make someone feel better, you're trying to make yourself feel better by jumping ahead of what God's plan is. Was this God's plan? No, it ended up being God's plan. Was it the best thing that could have happened? No. But it doesn't surprise God. Nothing in your life surprises God either. The things that you've been through, the experiences that you've had, doesn't surprise God. I have hopes and dreams, and I have all of these desires for my life, for my wife, for my kids. I want to see them succeed. I want to see them grow. I want to see them develop. But the reality is I know for certain that they're going to make dumb mistakes. We're going to make mistakes along the way, and there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to live the life that we have. We don't get a do-over. It's not like we're playing Mario where we have X3 at the top. This is it. We live with the consequences of our actions. Good, bad, or indifferent. God's not talking to them. Why? They've rejected him. We talked about that last week. Israel had rejected God. And they're about to get the king that they've earned. We make all of these decisions because we're so doggone selfish. We want to feel a certain way. We want certain things to happen in our life, certain stuff to happen. We want to make things happen instead of allowing God to have things happen. Instead of finding acceptance from the Lord when we're rejected, we go find other people that are just as sick and as sour and as angry as we are. Nowadays, we find them online. You can find anything online. It's great, right? But is that really what God wants? Look, I don't know what God has in store for your life from this point forward. I don't know what's going to happen. Here's what I do know. And honestly, when it comes to the future, it's the only thing I know. It's better if you follow the Lord. It's going to be better if you follow the Lord. Let that sink in a minute. It'll be better for your kids if you follow the Lord. It'll be better for your friends if you follow the Lord. It'll be better for your parents if you follow the Lord. It'll be better for your life. Church, sometimes God says nothing because he's already said enough. Sometimes God says nothing because he's already told you what to do. You just haven't done it. So where do you find yourself today? Do you find yourself in a place where you're selfishly going about your life trying to achieve what you want, trying to find and that feeling of success, that feeling of security, that feeling of strength, that feeling of power. Are you seriously chasing a feeling? A chemical reaction in your brain? It sounds so silly when you think about it. Folks, at some point in time, your brain's going to stop braining. That's what my daughter says. My brain has stopped braining. At some point in time, your brain is going to stop braining. Your lungs are going to stop breathing. And all of that stuff that you're pursuing, all that stuff that you're passionate about right now, is not going to matter a bit. And you're going to be standing in front of the throne, your life displayed out for all to see. Judge on that. And in that moment, all that's going to matter is if you've made Jesus Christ Lord of your life or not. You can't change the sins that have occurred, the stuff that you've done, or the things that have been done to you in your life. You can't change that. It's done. It's over. The past is past. We have no machine that you can go back and change that. Even if we could, you'd still remember it. I don't know. I'm not a big time travel guy, I guess. You can't change it. The decisions you made, you got to live with them. Sometimes that means that you're living through punishment. Sometimes that means you're living through hell right now. And it hurts. Israel just made a decision that they're going to have to deal with for a long time. And they keep making the decision over and over and over again. Living your life the same way every single day, expecting different results. It's the definition of insanity. Don't be crazy. Choose Jesus. Put that on a meme. Let's pray. Lord God, we need you. Not because we want to get out of hell. Not because the life that we're living is full of crud. Because we need a relationship with you, God. You're the creator and sustainer of us. You know every single moving and piece and part of our lives. You know all of our past. You know where we are today. You see us. You see me, God. And you know what I'm walking towards. You know what we're walking into, God. You know where the future is leading us. And God, sometimes you seem so silent, but the reality is you're speaking to us. You're speaking to us through the Word of God. Holy Spirit, you're speaking into our hearts. And we have to listen. We can't say anymore that, God, you don't speak to us if you've got the Word of God right there. We have to take the time to understand what you've said. We have to listen for the Holy Spirit to direct us and to guide us. But God, I pray right now I pray for the selfish ambitions of people, even the ones in this room. The number one thing that will keep us from God is not other people. It's not other things. It's not circumstances. It's us. It's when we choose ourselves over choosing what you want. Choosing yourself is what Satanists do. Glorifying the self is what Satanists do. That is Satanism. And that's the opposite of what you want, Lord. You want us to choose you. Because, Lord, on your worst day, and you don't have any, you're better than me on my best day. And we need you. Church, if you're desperate for the Lord today, cry out to him today. Lord, we need you. I pray, Lord God, that as we prepare to go from this place today, that we would seek you, whether it's in your word or through connection with the Holy Spirit, God, I pray that we would seek you, find you, instead of focusing on ourselves, that we would focus on you, allowing you to change us, allowing you to transform us more into the image of who you are, God. In your name, amen. Thank you, folks. Have an awesome and amazing Sunday. And next week, it's Dress Up Sunday. God bless.